join us, that would be great. It's so lovely to see you this morning, and if you don't know me, my name is Judith Keane and I'm one of the lay readers, and I'm absolutely delighted to be leading this last service before the big day. So yeah, the pandemic continues, doesn't it? I wonder how you're feeling about that. I know the last few days I've been feeling a bit unsettled, a bit anxious. We've had one of the music group not come today because they weren't feeling well, so we're really grateful, Debbie, stepping in at the last minute. But you know what? We're still able to be here, aren't we? After all those months when we couldn't meet together, we are still able to be here together with our Lord. And I just wanted to read a few verses to celebrate that fact. And remember that, you know, for a lot of our brothers and sisters around the world, they can never meet together because of persecution. So I want to read some verses from Psalm 122, just to give thanks to God, really, that we are here today. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. And it goes on to say this: pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. And isn't that what we're praying now? For each other, for our friends, that we might know peace and be secure, even in these challenging times. So, another thing we can be grateful for, we're still allowed to sing, even though it's with our masks on. So we're going to start with a song of praise, remembering the events of that first Christmas. We're going to sing While Shepherds Watched. So do stand if you're able, and we'll sing that together. Sit down, please. And we're going to be hearing that story and then hearing Helen speak about it a bit later.
I've just got a couple of notices before we carry on. First of all, Christmas Day. It hasn't been advertised, but Peter is going to be hosting a short communion service immediately after the family service that morning. So that's here at St Andrew's, a family service and then a short...
10 o'clock,
thank you. So 10 o'clock followed by a short communion service. A reminder too that we're going to be hosting a Christmas lunch here. There are places available, so do let neighbours and friends know if they're going to be likely to be on their own. And can you please contact Peter Myers about that if you want a place or places. And then finally, there's going to be a single service for both churches next Sunday, so Boxing Day. That will be a short reflective service, 10:30 here at St Andrew's. So any of those details I've skipped through too quickly, do ask me afterwards if you just want a reminder of any of those times. So last week of Advent. So let's just take a moment to be quiet, perhaps to reflect on how we are feeling as we come into this service today, and just to prepare ourselves to meet with God here. And as we meet to celebrate anew the coming of God's kingdom, we hear revealed the mystery of God's loving purpose for us, that when we were far off, he met us in his Son and brought us home. He humbled himself to take our human nature, that we might share his divine glory. And when the Lord comes again, may he find us watching and waiting, now and at all times. Amen. So we are going to light the Advent candle. And, told not to wander away from the microphone. I've got to remember I haven't got a lapel mic on. And just say this is the fourth candle. We're remembering Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I'll light the candles and then we've got some words to say to each other, say together. And so Dave's going to come up now with a couple of things to say, and then we'll be moving into a communion.
Good. I wasn't sure whether he was here. We've just talked about somebody saying yes. And George, for the last term, has said yes to working here as our youth and children's intern, but now George is going to far more exciting places and exciting things. George, come and tell us where you're off to next Wednesday.
Australia, Sydney. But can I just say, this is so exciting. I've absolutely loved working as a youth and children's intern here. It's brought so much joy. And I was saying to my family, I was expecting to be labouring for 5 days a week. And 3 days of just working with the young people has been such a blessing to me. And God has been in it so much. So,
tell us, before we talk about Australia, tell us some of your highlights.
Oh, there's too many. Youth Alpha has been such a highlight. We said a prayer at the end of Youth Alpha, and I think there was about 8-9 hands that went up saying they wanted to follow Jesus. So that was a great encouragement. But also just being with the little ones, some of the, 4 to 10-year-olds that I haven't necessarily been with at all, they've brought some great questions along, have been great fun. I've loved that as well on Sunday morning.
So, George, tell us what you're off to do in Australia next Wednesday.
Yeah, so I'm not just going to be having a holiday, although I'll try to a bit. I'm going to be working in a church, so there'll be 2 services that I'll have to go to, a healing service and the morning service on a Sunday. And then I'll be working alongside the young people there as well. And then I'll be doing 3 days a week in a prep school, teaching some, I think it's RE I'm teaching, and they're doing some PE as well. I hope it's RE because I'm not very good at anything else. So that's the plan. Very exciting.
So we wanted to say a really big thank you to George for all that he's done in this last term. We're going to do a little presentation at Chaos tonight, and we've got a gift from the church, which when I press the button will come through to your bank account too, just to bless you as you, not when I press the button, I don't press those buttons, you know what I mean, Marion does, to bless you as you go. But we're so grateful for all that you have been, and you've just been an amazing presence, really, just bringing great joy and relating to all sorts, from the midweek service to the little ones to the very oldest. So we thank you for that. Let's pray for him as he goes. Lord, we thank you so much for George. Thank you for what he's been here, for the way he served so faithfully. Thank you for just what you've been doing through his ministry, particularly with Youth Alpha. And we pray your blessing on him as he prepares to go down under. We pray that nothing will stop that between now and next Wednesday, and that you would really minister to him in his time out there, that you would grow him, that you would use him, that you would bless him. And just watch over his family too as he leaves them next week as well. So we offer him to you, and just go with him. May he know Emmanuel, God with him, as he travels all those miles. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you pray for the kids?
Yeah.
So the children are going to go out to the groups now. George is going to, nearly as his last act, pray for them, children and youth, as they go.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, and we praise you for all the young people here. I thank you for the joy that they bring to our lives and to our families and to the church family. Father, I just pray that you would be with each and every one of them now as they go out to their groups. May you reveal more of your love to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just add as well, I'd love to do a newsletter to keep people updated on how it's going. So if anyone wants to receive one, do come and see me and give me your email address. So, yeah.
Great. Bless you.
Thank you.
So, if the children and young people can follow George out, we're going to gather around the Lord's table to worship through bread and wine, and then through sung worship as people are continuing to receive that. But as we come and just prepare our hearts to take communion, let's first come before God and just confess in the quietness of our own hearts anything we need to before God right now. May the God of all mercy forgive us our sins and grow us into his likeness. Amen. And as we come and gather, we just acknowledge that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voices to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Let's say the prayer that our Saviour Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Going to invite you to come as you are invited to come up to the front. Please do come up with your mask, hands open, and we'll put the wafer with the wine on it into your hands. And if you can take it back to your seats before you consume, that will be safest. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your presence with us right now. And Lord, we pray for your power to be here in this place, moving to cleanse, to heal. And Lord, we ask for your grace to be with us in these difficult times and with so much uncertainty around. We know that you are with us.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from the throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sakes you died.
To the
that your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know?
Let us pray now. The word peace has occurred not only as we've been singing, but it was in that word from the Bible that Judith read. And isn't peace so needed at the moment? So let us pray for the church and the world. And let us thank God for his goodness. Because he promised that through his Son, Jesus Christ, he would listen to us as we pray in faith. Strengthen, guide, and give wisdom to all with responsibility to rule our country and other countries throughout the world. We pray for integrity and honesty and selflessness in all decisions to work for the common good. And we pray for justice and peace for the persecuted and the downtrodden. Lord, just recently the things in the other part of the world have not been at the forefront of our news and our thinking. We've been so concerned with ourselves in this country. But Lord, we just remember before you now those who are witnessing for you in your name in other countries. And we remember those who are serving separated from family or friends this Christmas. We think of Ben and Katie and their children in Tanzania. We pray for the Fletchers in Bangkok and for Mike Basus in the Beirut. Lord, they're all coping with different challenges, but they're standing as witnesses to your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us grace, our Father, as we celebrate again your coming among us. Help us draw near and worship Emmanuel, God with us. And as families come together, where there are tensions and nervousness, may you give us grace to be peacemakers. Some people will find this a difficult time of sadness, separation, and loss this past year. Come, Lord Jesus, with your peace, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We think of those on the prayer chain, or maybe people who are known to us personally. Let us just pause for a moment and bring them to God as we pray together. Lord, would you give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Whether they are concerned about their jobs, about finance or relationships, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us as we remember those who have died recently. We pray for the family of Doug Meadows. And as we've received Christmas cards and been in touch with people, we've heard of the loss of others in our lives. Lord, we just remember them before you. And we rejoice in the fellowship of all your saints. We commend ourselves and all people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 2. This can be found on page 1027. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray as we look at this passage from Luke together? Lord God, we ask that this morning you will open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In his book, Jesus Christ, the Truth, which I think is the best Christian book that I've read in the last year, Evangelist J. John says this: "It's a pity that one of the few points of contact in the modern West between the post-Christian world and the Bible is the Christmas stories. They are loved, often depicted in primary colours. They have walk-on parts for animals and are rated safe for children. Besides, who can object to the birth of a baby? Yet when we give the Christmas stories the attention that they truly deserve, we find that hiding beneath the glitter and the sentimentality are profound and significant truths. Hiding beneath the glitter and the sentimentality are profound and significant truths." So what is at the heart of Christmas? Well, if you're here in church this morning or watching online at home, then you're quite likely to know, I should think, that at the heart of Christmas is God coming to earth as a human baby born to be our saviour. Yet we are part of a culture in which at this time of year, everything is clothed in glitter and sentimentality, to use J. John's phrase. And that makes it hard for Christians to communicate the true message of Christmas, what J. John calls the profound and significant truths of the Christmas message, are all too often hidden by the glitter and sentimentality. Last Christmas, I found that I was watching so much online that it gave me a chance to reassess how the Christian message comes across in a post-Christian culture. In the baby boomer generation I was born into, I can remember being taught quite a lot about Christmas that sowed seeds of doubt, some of which reverberates to this day. I learnt, for instance, that the carol, "I saw three ships come sailing by, come sailing by, come sailing by, I saw three ships come sailing by at Christmas Day in the morning." We sang it at school. The words were written in the 19th century when music was composed by British composer Richard Rodney Bennett in the 20th. But what, as I look back now, I may well ask, have the words of this song got to do with the area where Jesus lived and died? Well, maybe given that Bennett was born in the seaside town of Broadstairs, the words simply appealed to him. Or how about this one? "Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen." Now, the Feast of Stephen, St. Stephen's Day, is marked in the Anglican calendar on Boxing Day, in memory of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Yet this carol is no longer a tale of good works that is light years away from Bethlehem. In some of what we sing, where are the profound and significant truths that J. John refers to? Even in church, we can find ourselves unwittingly colluding with a sentimental Christmas handed down to us from the Victorian era. And I know that we've sung this today, but I'm afraid I have a real problem with "In the Bleak Midwinter." It's a nice song to sing, and it does have some great words in it, but there is absolutely no historical or biblical evidence to back up the opening words that tell us that snow had fallen snow on snow. Given that in today's passage we're told that there were shepherds out on the hillside at night tending their flocks, then the nativity could certainly not have taken place in the bleak midwinter. In fact, we have no evidence to pinpoint the exact time of Jesus' birth. The celebration of the Nativity on the 25th of December goes back to AD 336, the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine. After he'd become a Christian, the celebration of Christmas was fixed in December in order to replace an existing pagan midwinter festival. Well, how about this one? "We three kings of Orient are." Were there three kings? We don't know. There were three gifts. And were they kings? Unlikely. The Bible calls them magi or wise men. They would have been the scientists, the astronomers, the astrologers of their day. But more than that, we don't know. It's actually a real challenge for us to maintain the integrity of the gospel's message whilst avoiding the embellishments that previous generations have put on us. If we're not careful, such traditions can sow seeds of doubt about the actual truth. Guarding the truth is one aspect of this season that for Christians is completely countercultural, challenging the assumptions that our culture has about the season of Christmas. The second way we can be authentically Christian is to avoid an unrealistic sentimentality. With all the nativity plays, the tinsel and our own family traditions, it's hard to resist being swept along in a tide of sentimentality. It's all around us. Take, for instance, the John Lewis advert, which is generally in the forefront of the sentimentality stakes. Called this year "The Unexpected Guest," John Lewis is quoted as saying that the purpose of this year's advert is to give people, quote, "that warm, fuzzy feeling of Christmas after so many of us missed out on our festive traditions last year when the UK was under lockdown." A warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, if you haven't seen it yet, then if you're watching this online, go to YouTube and look up John Lewis advert 2021 and you can watch it there. But for anybody here in the building this morning, we have our chance now. It's only 2 minutes, but to me it feels a lot longer. Well, what's that supposed to be about? What's its meaning? Is it alluding to the Christian faith in some way? A boy led by a star brings a gift to a being from another world who's landed in an out-of-the-way place, a being who looks a bit like us. Is it meant to be alluding to the baby born from heaven into the stable at Bethlehem, where people led by a star come to offer him gifts? Well, it could be. And if we're intentionally considering how we can use the season as an opportunity to point people to the heart of Christmas, then this advert can be useful. If the advert comes up in conversation or on the television, we could say something like, you know, there are parts of that advert that really remind me of the true meaning of Christmas. And if the person is open, that might lead us into further conversation about the truths of the Christian faith. So it's good for us all to be careful about listening to God at Christmas time, about how we can share the truth of our faith in appropriate ways. We are entrusted with the treasure of knowing the truth about the birth of the Saviour, who arrives from a world beyond ours to an out-of-the-way place where people come to worship in wonder. We might well get a better response than we expect. So many people at the moment are really struggling and concerned about what their future holds for them. They're thinking beyond the snow and the tinsel. So let's be praying for some opportunities. But when it comes to that, what have we got to share? Well, some of the familiar Christmas carols that are based on the truth of the Gospels can be a good starting point. The one for this week in our series, Christ and the Carols, is O Come All Ye Faithful. It's in part based on the passage from Luke's Gospel that we've just had as our Bible reading today. And it begins, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem, encouraging us to follow the example of the shepherds who come and behold the baby born in Bethlehem. Because for Luke, the heart of the Christmas story is the birth of Jesus Christ. The angelic messengers come with news in chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, verses 10 to 11, and say, I bring you good news which will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The facts told the shepherds out in their fields are that a Saviour has been born in the nearby town of Bethlehem. They're given sufficient details to get there and to find him. So in verse 12 it says, this will be a sign to you when you find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the facts are well established. This is good news. The birth of Jesus is more than something that belongs to history books. But what shines out to people today is not just the truth of the story, but also our response to that truth. That was true as much for the shepherds in the first century as it is for us today. What difference does the baby at Bethlehem make to your Christmas and mine? Because what people are looking for today is transformed lives, living some way different, a life where faith is more than intellectual assent. A faith that shines through in all that you are and do. And Luke's verdict in chapter 2, verse 10 is this, that the good news of the baby in the manger will cause great joy for all the people. At this time of year, more than any other, what we have to offer the world is so much more than the warm, fuzzy feeling that John Lewis is offering. The true response of the Christian to the birth of Jesus is joy. And our carol echoes Luke's verdict, O come, come you faithful, joyful and triumphant. This joy is not like the happiness or pleasure that is found in a specific event or occasion, such as a nice Christmas meal. Joy is a particularly God-given gift. Joy and rejoicing are mentioned specifically in the Bible nearly 400 times. I didn't know that till this week. I was bowled over. It's even more than fear not. Joy is a gift from God to his people, and its source is God himself. It's when we seek God for his own sake that we find joy. That's what the shepherds in the story found when they went to focus on the Saviour in the manger. That the response to the good news of the birth is joy. Great joy for all the people. And it's for all people. Luke wants to make it really clear. People often say that Christmas is a time for younger people. But in Luke's gospel, the majority of people are older. Of course, Mary, Joseph and the baby are young, and the shepherds are likely to be of various ages. And the magi could be, they might be, well, be largely older. But so are Elizabeth and Zechariah that Luke talks about, the parents of John the Baptist. While Simeon and Anna, who met the baby in the temple, were older still. Regardless of age or circumstances, the Bible encourages all of us to respond in joy as we draw near to the newly born Saviour. Let's look at the passage to find some examples of those who responded to the good news of the Saviour with joy. And we can begin with Mary. Now, today's carol tells us, lo, he, Jesus, abhors not the Virgin's womb. In other words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God chose to be conceived within the body of a young virgin. Now, think about this. This was her first baby. She gave birth without any modern medical support. So I should think she endured some pain. Yet she must also have been rejoicing at a safe delivery. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, we find it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In spite of her pain, she had a really quiet joy that rests deep inside her. And this Christmas, maybe you are hurting. Perhaps not physically, but in mind or spirit. This time of year can be hard for all sorts of reasons. Yet it is possible to rejoice. Maybe not in an extrovert way, but deep within. Because help in the form of Jesus has come into the world to share our sorrows and to walk beside us when we're hurting. When he grew up, Jesus even wept alongside the family at the grave of Lazarus, his friend. Secondly, we find that those who are struggling financially are also invited to rejoice in the Saviour's birth. The shepherds in this passage were deliberately chosen. God came in the first instance not to places of religious worship, nor to the rich. No, he came to invite the poor, people who are struggling. And he invited struggling people to come and listen to the worship of heaven for free. In terms of the society of that time, shepherds were ordinary working people, struggling to make a steady living. They were shunned by others as second rate and smelly. Access to worship would have been difficult for them. Yet here is God Almighty, turning up in their place of work, in your home maybe, in your office, in your school, in your bedroom as you listen to this now. And God is offering them where they are, from where they're sitting, the best seats in the house, to come and gaze in worship. And they must have felt completely comfortable and welcome in that smelly stable. Let's go, they said in chapter 2, verse 15. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. They hurried off. You can almost see them skipping down the hill with great joy. No wonder today's carol opens with a call for us all to join in. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Of course, this is good news for all people. And so we find that in his gospel, Matthew also includes the wealthy. So the magi, the wealthy academics, those with the thinking and the brains, also humbled themselves and bowed the knee in worship, offering their substantial resources to the newborn king. Every nation is included. This group, the Magi, were outsiders. They wouldn't have been of Jewish heritage, but God included them in his purposes. All people everywhere, in every era, are invited in to join in the joy that comes from the birth of a saviour, the joy of heaven. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So what is our response today? This is good news of great joy in every age and culture. In terms of the history of the world, this birth is the best news of all of the births in the history of the human race so far. Here is God intervening in human history to bring us back to fellowship with himself. When together we sing carols centred on the heart of Christmas, it helps us to focus on the Saviour. And that in turn enables us to respond in joy. Because our joy is rooted not in our own circumstances or situation, but in what God is doing. When we focus our hearts on the heart of God, who calls our attention to the birth of his Son, we can be caught up in all that heaven is doing, and we experience his joy. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all you citizens of heaven above and below. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. As our minds are focused on the truth of Christmas, the Holy Spirit releases our spirits to sing God's praises, embracing the whole of who we are in the joy of God. Joy is God's gift to us, his people, this Christmas time. At the birth of the Saviour, God's joy is fully inclusive and all pervasive, and that raises our faith and brings us hope. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Helen. And would you like to stand now? We are going to sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And I'm glad it's got the seal of approval that it does indeed speak the true message of Christmas. Please do stand if you're able.
Oh, come.
well, it was really interesting that Joan also had focused on that idea of peace. So I just want to reread some of those verses from Psalm 122, and I'm going to paraphrase slightly as we think of our loved ones in this last run-up to Christmas. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace of Malvern, for the peace of the places where our loved ones are, for the peace of our world. May those who love you and who we love be secure. May there be peace within our walls and security within our citadels. For the sake of our family and friends, we will say, peace be within you. And it can be within us because of that baby who came to be with us. And so a final prayer. May God the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, give us grace to prepare for life eternal. May God the Son, who comes to us as Redeemer and Judge, reveal to us the path from darkness to light. And may God, the Holy Spirit, by whose working the Virgin Mary conceived the Christ, help us bear the fruits of holiness. Amen. Thank you.